This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, I'm going to predict a player that'll be on the board for the Lions at 29 that nobody's predicting. We'll get to that in a minute. Gator, I want to start with this. Spring game thoughts. Michigan State, you watched it. What are your thoughts on Michigan State's spring game?
Well, it was the first opportunity really to get a look at Aiden Childs, the transfer quarterback from Oregon State. Obviously, he knows the offense they're running because that's what Coach Jonathan Smith is bringing with him along with his offensive coordinator. So I was encouraged by what I saw. I mean, obviously, he's got a command. There's a presence about him. I mean, he's a big kid, very athletic, and made a couple of really nice passes. There were some clunkers in there too. But I liked what I saw for the most part. And at the end, he took off and ran on a play and shows you why he's a dual threat guy. And I think that's something that Spartan fans are dying to see, is a quarterback that's a legitimate threat with his legs, not just somebody, oh, you know what, he can run a little bit. He's legit. And that was cool. Nick Marsh, the true freshman from River Rouge, had a few catches in the game. At one point, he was 3 catches for 99 yards, had a touchdown on a poorly thrown pass that was not from Childs, for which quarterback threw it, but well underthrown and behind him. He went back, caught it, and went past the defenders. He's got the speed, the size, and he's 18 years old. He looks great. Like to see that. Nathan Carter had a big touchdown run the second play of the game. He also caught a touchdown pass at the end. That may or may not have been overturned if they had replay, because the defender ended up with the ball in his hands when all was said and done. But I think for Michigan State, what you're looking for is to see any kind of improvement on the offensive line. And they've got the transfer from Oregon State who's playing at center. That's going to help them out a lot, I think. And it just looks like they're maybe a little calmer on that offensive line. But in the end, there's not a whole lot you can glean from these, because you don't want to get too excited about seeing something that made you go, yay, because you're like, was that either really good that they did that or really bad because the defense gave it up or vice versa? You know, you just don't really know what you're rooting for.
Spring game conundrum.
Yeah, and it's...
Everybody cheers for the offense.
Exactly. and guys are being substituted in and out the entire time, so you don't really know what kind of continuity there is. But there's some things to like, and you know, and watching a little bit of the Michigan game too, and they drafted their teams, I think, for Maize and Blue, so it's a little bit different. It's more of a team type thing. Michigan State's was more of a controlled scrimmage, and they had obviously a big long practice beforehand. But it was I'm encouraged by the quarterback play. I'm excited to see what he can do.
As far as Michigan's concerned, look, they're gonna probably go into the portal at the wide receiver spot, but Fred Moore had a nice touchdown, and Kendrick Bell, Ronnie's little brother, had a touchdown reception as well. And, you know, Tyler Morris had the big play in the Rose Bowl, which is probably more significant than anything that happened in the spring game. But there's likely to be help coming to the wide receiver spot from the portal, I would strongly suspect. Offensive line, they got to figure it out. Long way to go. Amazing. They'll lose as much as they have, but still have some guys who've played and started, which they got a few guys that did. You know, so it won't be their first time on the field, but they got to get that group right. Donovan Edwards looks sharp. The quarterbacks, I mean, good and bad from all the quarterbacks, Davis Warren, Alex Orji, the two that look the best. Defensively, if I could pick a couple guys that I think will actually start to make an impact, DJ Waller and Jahir Hill, two corners, both played reasonably well. I'm going to empty the bucket on two things.
Oh, here we go.
Empty the bucket. I haven't done this in a while, but this is when you do all the research and then you never have a chance to...
Hang on. Are you sure you don't want to save this for the season?
Well, I could save the Will Johnson nugget because he played about five plays. Or I can tell you now. And that is his uncle is, I guess, a musician and gave Will a guitar for Christmas. And he's taught himself how to play. And I talked to his sister about it. And she says he's probably irritatingly good that he's good at that, too.
good. Yep.
But Will Johnson now plays the guitar, acoustic.
Okay.
So if you have any requests, Gator, I know you're a big guitar guy.
Yeah, sure.
And Michigan's got a walk-on quarterback this year named Anthony Arnoux, who I was dying to get into the game. He did not. Anthony played at Santa Monica High School, took a year off and trained, went to a Fresno camp where he got an offer to play for Fresno State after training for a year from then-Fresno coach Kalen DeBoer.
How old is this kid?
He's like, I don't know.
28?
Third. No, he did a year at Fresno and then transferred to Pasadena Community College and now is walking out of Michigan. So this is his fourth year out of high school. So, I mean, DeBoer was only
there for a couple of years?
Yeah, I think he was only there for 2 years. Anyway, there you go. Some interesting. I'll never get to use the Anthony Arnoux stat again. So.
I did watch some of the Michigan spring game as well. There were a couple – Alex Orji early on, he had the first pass he completed was nice to Bredesen, but the pass he made afterwards I thought was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was made the pass before the receiver broke. It was well-timed. It was thrown with good velocity, and the receiver caught it right in stride. Thought that was nice, and then Orji's touchdown run was nice as well. I mean, he had some really – really interesting quarterback player in the Big Ten and locally with Childs and Orji. If Orji wins the job, the athleticism is on full display.
Yeah. All right. So I predict that there'll be a player on the board at 29. Hmm. And I'm not sure what you do. Do you have any guesses as to who it'll be?
I'm not sure who you're going to get, if it's a position that we've talked about or if it's something completely off the board.
We haven't talked about this guy really much at all. But we talked about him earlier today. I wouldn't be shocked if Leatu Latu was still on the board at 29. He's considered by some to be the best and most versatile edge rusher in this draft. But when you have a player that, I mean, it was called a medical retirement at Washington because of a neck injury. He suffered numbness in his neck. It wasn't alleviated by surgery. The medical personnel suggested that he risked being paralyzed if he continued to play.
Yeah.
He left Washington.
He was told not to play again.
Went to UCLA, got medical clearance to play. So this is tricky because his physical skill set says high first round. But with that nugget of information, I'm not sure what you're to do. I get scared with stuff like this because you don't want anything to go south in a bad way for a player with this kind of injury. But could you see him still being on the board, that the injury question?
Yeah, I could. I think that teams get really scared when it comes to medicals. And when you're talking about a neck injury, even though fortunately for him, the last 2 years was injury free and he racked up a bunch of sacks, I think 23 sacks in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I do think teams shy away from that. They don't want to go near it. And, you know, when will somebody pull the trigger on it? Will it be well after, you know, the 20s? Will we see it at 29? I don't think it'll last that long, but I understand the logic behind why he would.
It's just, you know, when drafts are over, sometimes people say, yeah, we have medical questions and we weren't going to. If he drops, then I don't know that you can take him. If that many teams are saying no. And then look, the Lions will do their own homework, right? It's not like they're going to rely on everybody else's medical reports, but that's a scary deal if everybody is passing on them. You got to get to the point and you say, all right, is this pick worth sacrificing if the guy can never play? Is it going to be worth the potential upside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's 29.
Do you think based on the conversation last week, I don't know if it's a conversation, but up in front of the microphones and cameras and up at the podium, when Taylor Decker was talking and they talked about contract extension, he said, yeah, we started to have talks and, you know, this, I want to play my whole career here and, you know, I'm happy where things are progressing, where they're going. Does that keep the Lions out of drafting a tackle if a tackle slips to them.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
There's a lot of tackles in this.
Mims or somebody.
Yeah,
like
I was going to say
yeah.
Mims or Fashanu from Penn State, one of those guys who both considered by most as top 20 players available in the draft. But because, you know, you're obviously going to redo with Penei Sewell soon, and if you bring back Decker after this year for a couple more, does that prevent you from taking a tackle in the first round?
It's cold business.
Mm-hmm.
And do I think that prevents them because he says he wants to stay here? I love that he wants to stay here. I love.
Or that it seemed like that Brad Holmes was willing to bring him back too and sign to a deal.
Yeah. So he's got a cap hit this year of $19.1 million. He'll be 32 when he enters the first year of his next contract. I mean, the question is, all right, how much do you want to be here? How much less than $19.1 million will you take?
Right, because he's not going to set the market because he's a left tackle and he's been starting the league for a long time. I don't think he's the guy that sets the market, and I don't think the Lions would even envision that either. But how far, you're right, how far down does that price come?
And the issue is, you know, if you draft a guy, if one of those guys falls to you and you draft that player, he's your next right tackle. The Lions have the elite left tackle in-house that can slide over. And if there's a starting caliber player, I mean, and Brad Holmes said last week, when we're looking at things, we're looking at A, B, C, and D was what contracts are set to expire. He could be talking about Deckers. Because if you can save, you know, $15 million on a starting tackle, that's a lot of money.
It is.
So it might be. Yeah, that could be in play.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.